You're listening to a Weeby Geeks Network podcast.
It's Pro Wrestling Cast.
Shut up! My time has come, and that's the bottom line.
With your hosts, Al John and Steven.
I've been the best ever since day one when I walked into this company.
It's Pro Wrestling Cast, for a weekly look into the world of professional wrestling.
I'm going to reach out right now. I want you at home to know my hand is touching your hand.
Follow us on Facebook at Pro Wrestling Cast and on Twitter at P Wrestling Cast.
I always try to do what's best for business.
Have a question or just want to comment? Leave us a voicemail at 615-9339-PWC. That's 615-9339-792.
Or how about a Y2J telling you to shut the hell up?
And now, Pro Wrestling Cast.
Oh, you're too hard on the Ryback. You're too hard on the Ryback.
You know, and somebody said the worst wrestler's award should go to Ryback. It should go to Strowman.
Yeah, Strowman's pretty
bad. I thought about that later.
No, you're right. Well, yeah, that's what happens. Hey, once again, thank you so much for tuning in to another edition of Pro Wrestling Cast, and happy holidays to you. We are still here after all the rigmarole of the holiday season. I'm Al John Go, broadcaster, podcaster, and wrestling fan, joined by my illustrious co-host. You see, I got that from Stone Cold Steve Austin. You like that? The illustrious co-host here, and we're going to talk about how he screwed Bret Hart out of the World Championship. No, we're not talking about that. Yes, Stephen Anthony. Ring the bell. Ring the bell.
Ring the fucking bell. That's actually what he said.
Yeah, you see, look at you, man.
Isn't that still the most amazing thing that ever happened ever?
It's still
Did that really happen, you think, or is that a shoot?
You know, we have to put that in, you know, our most infamous moments in wrestling history. Show that we're planning down the road, probably in the first month of 2016, because there's so many great shooty kind of things that we've talked about on the show, and that would be one of them for sure. We're going to talk about Vince McMahon. We're going to talk about NXT TakeOver. We're going to talk about so much other stuff that's going on in the world of professional wrestling.
The TNA title tournament.
Yes, we'll talk about that. We'll talk about the switch of TNA to Pop and how they're no longer on Destination America. But before we do that, I said my illustrious co-host, but I didn't say your name, Mr. Stephen Anthony. How are you, sir?
Well, I've watched all of the Mid-South episodes. They dumped all 10 of them, so now I'm kind of lost again.
He doesn't know where to go. What else am I going to do with my time?
Well, I've watched all of those. The Calgary stuff they took down. NWA, I've only, you know, I've got a good ways through. There's some AWA on there to check out. And I just love that old stuff.
Yeah, I know. Me too. It's great. I've been watching more Smoky Mountain, you know, and
that's good too.
About half of the Mid-South. I didn't get through all of it, but, you know, I still have GWF to go through and so much others. But I do like the classic stuff. So WWE, continue to bring it, if you will.
Please.
We're also going to talk about our thoughts on this past pay-per-view, the TLC and Monday Night Raw aftermath that followed, and newsworthy stuff going on as well. And that's something that we have not been able to say in weeks past.
Right.
So we do have some news and commentary. This is the show for fans by fans, wrestling news and commentary. You can expect that from us every time you refresh your iTunes feed. We try to put up a show every week as much as we can, and you can follow us on social media, P Wrestling Cast and Dr. Deathmark as well, if you want to follow Steven as he talks about New Japan and so much other really cool stuff as he
New Japan
and, you know, retweets any Rocky Romero promo or
I'll read you Chris Hero and Ricochet stuff. Yeah.
Yeah,
Ricochet. That's pretty much all it is.
Yeah, he's a big fan. So let's talk about this real quick. If you want to get caught up on a lot of other wrestling that we're talking about, whether it's our thoughts on earlier this year, maybe you're just now getting caught up, maybe you just subscribe to the WWE Network. Do yourself a solid and subscribe to our iTunes feed there at ProWrestlingCast.com. There you can check out the show, archived episodes. You can also download and listen to our show via Stitcher in there as well. And there's all kinds of great apps. Tune in. You can listen to us on your Roku player, on varied mobile devices as well, and all of that at ProWrestlingCast.com. We also would appreciate you supporting the site. Now, we have got links to Fandango, so you can buy your Star Wars Force Awakens tickets on there. I know that Thursday night, that's what I'm going to be doing, watching Star Wars The Force Awakens. I know Chris Jericho did his little symposium on Star Wars, which kind of made me mad, so I needed to turn that off, you know. But that's what happens, you know. I mean, you know, and that's fine. Everyone has their opinions on wrestling just as they do Star Wars. If you're a passionate fan, that's really cool, though, that he dedicated an entire show to Star Wars, but I had to turn it off. You can get your tickets through Fandango. Also, we've got our friends at High Spots. We talk about shoot videos, and we hadn't had an opportunity to talk about the latest shoots and the greatest stuff, you know, because we've had so much stuff to talk about on this show. But trust me, in 2016, we'll get back to the shoot videos there at High Spots. And something else you can do to support our show other than buying shoot videos and wrestling gear from High Spots is checking out our link to WWE as well. Not only can you subscribe to the network using our link there at ProWrestlingCast.com, but also WWE shop. We just recently ran a special on 30% off title belts. That was awesome. So you want to get a replica title belt for 30% off? You could have checked out, clicked our banner and checked out all the sales going on at WWE shop as well. And last but not least, Amazon. We know that you're continuing to do your holiday shopping. You want to get your hands on Owen Hart, Heart of Gold from WWE on Blu-ray and DVD, as well as digital download.
Which I believe is under this Christmas tree.
Oh, okay. That's great. Hey, well, what a great Blu-ray and DVD. We've been waiting for the Owen Hart Blu-ray for quite some time, and they just went ahead and had to do it. And Steven's looking for his copy of Heart of Gold now. You see, you're spoiling it for yourself.
I think this is it right here. Nice. I'm serious. I think that's it.
But you can go ahead and put Heart of Gold on your list. You can make a wish list and send it to your family and friends and say, you know what, you really want to do me a solid, go ahead and check out my wish list, because I have every wrestling Blu-ray DVD and or coffee table book, like the 25 Years of Undertaker or the WWE Encyclopedia. There's so many great coffee table books from DK and wrestling biographies that are out there that you can check out for yourself. Or you want to get Mick Foley's wrestling, I guess, the Christmas books for the kids in there as well, which would be great if Noel Foley actually read them to you. That would be nice, right? I wish that was the case. Oh my God. But at any rate, you can check that out at Amazon.com. Now, without any further ado, oh, and by the way, we also do have our promo of the week and our discussion on the various topics you can chime in on for our wrestling end of year wrestler awards, Pro WrestleCast Awards. But right now, let's launch into
This Week in Wrestling News.
I'd like to bring this up, the ratings. Ratings for WWE Raw skyrocketed.
28% up.
Amazing how promotion internally at the top of the show.
All right.
Decent booking, but an appearance from wrestling's most infamous, one of wrestling's most infamous and controversial characters, Vincent Kennedy McMahon.
Vince McMahon is magic, okay? Vince doesn't want to appear on the show anymore. This is something he told them. He said, I don't want to be a character. And I think if I know him and his vanity, it's because he looks older, you know, and, you know, he's 70. And if anybody could turn back time, it'd be him, but he can't. And, you know, it got to the point where they thought the TLC pay-per-view ended really strong. It wasn't as strong to me as a lot of other people had made it out to be. You know, we'll talk more about the pay-per-view, but, you know, the ending I thought was very good. And, you know, they open up Raw with Stephanie, and they opened at 4 million, which is really high for them. You know, they usually open at 3.2, maybe, lately, and dip at some points to below 3 million.
Well, let me tell you, one of the reasons why is because every news and social media account picked up on the fact that, quote unquote, Triple H was being treated at a medical facility.
And that it was a good beatdown ending, that basically all the social media, Twitter was a flutter with the fact that they had changed the eternal logic of booking Roman Reigns, and that he would now mirror Steve Austin instead of John
Daniel Slick. Bryan.
Or Daniel Bryan. Take your pick. And the ending was very good. It was a good beatdown. Triple H is still one of the best. That's what's funny about this. Triple H and Vince McMahon are two of their best five performers that they have, and they're not really on the show very much. So it's
Triple H. They are special attractions. They're special attractions.
But they're great. I mean, they're great. And then another one would be Lesnar, and another one would be Undertaker. And then, you know, who else, whoever you want to pick for the fifth spot. That's their guys. And Stephanie. There you go. So none of them are full-time performers. That's kind of why this show is wacky sometimes. But
Vince, well, it goes back to last week, what I was talking about in terms of them getting all the heat and not actually creating a superstar that will generate that heat, because they want to pivot. It seems to me like they want to pivot superstars to fill a particularly need at any given time. So that's why there's so much 50-50 booking. And I don't believe that should be the case.
I'm glad you brought up the term heat, because I wanted to talk about this. Vince McMahon, people say, is the greatest promoter. He's maybe the greatest heel, a great booker, a great businessman. But to me, he's the master of controlling and manipulating heat. And I've seen him do it for years. I kind of alluded to it on the last show about Randy Orton. How did Randy Orton become popular? How did he get heat? Well, how do you get Roman Reigns over? Now, when I look back at the shows and how awful they've been booked and all of the logic and how the mid-carders are staying in the mid-card, what I've come up with is that Vince's entire goal is to get Roman Reigns over anything else on the show whatsoever. He wants Roman Reigns over. And if you look at it that way, it makes sense, the things they have done. Not that it was the right thing to do, but it just, at least it makes some sense. He's like, we have to get Roman Reigns over, and then everything else we can do after. So finally, the master of heat says, I'll appear on the show. And what does the master do? He comes out, and this was a wink and a nod to me. You want to talk about being a smart mark? This is the wink and the nod. He goes in the same arena that booed him out of the building, Roman Reigns I'm talking about.
That's right.
And they went nuts when he won the title.
Yeah.
Maybe that's why shitty-ass Sheamus had the belt all along. And he manipulated the heat perfectly.
That's right.
As a performer, he goes out and he can go off script. This is something I've noticed too. It's okay for him to kind of improvise out there. He doesn't trust the others to do it, but he has no problem improvising, because if you watched his two-break middle skit, he was improvising, let the bastard wait, you know, stuff like that, and kind of screwing around with the
I liked it.
The guy in the – I don't know who he's messing with. The guy in the corner of the, you know, the
production. Oh, one of his production guys, yeah.
Yeah, and he's kind of screwing around with them, and he's, you know, I want this chair. You know, little things like that I miss so much. And, you know, The Rock and Steve Austin, all those guys used to do those little things. And
that's right.
So
here taking everybody to school, even the marks.
He's so great. And here he comes out at the end of the show. He's hilarious. And you know what? This is the key. They booked that match great. They booked the match great. Those guys put on a great match. One of the best TV matches I've seen this year on their show, for sure. It was a lot better than their TLC match, because they're doing these guys are stiff. Mm-hmm. Sheamus is way too stiff. He should be in Japan. He's so stiff.
Mm-hmm.
It's funny I don't like him more, you know. And
I like, you know what? I'll go on record. I like Sheamus.
I do like Sheamus.
I don't like his character. I don't like his character, but I like him. And I like the way he performs as well.
Yeah. And the way they did the end, the headbutt, the blood was kind of lucky to get some blood in there. It was a pretty good sized bit of blood. Mm-hmm. Vince's acting was great. They booked the finish great. The near falls were perfect. And they had a gigantic pop, and there you go, in Philly, they're cheering Roman Reigns.
I know, right? If you can make it out, as they say, if you can, not in Philly, but if you can make it there, you can make it anywhere. Right. Philly for wrestling. You're exactly right. I mean, I mean, things were telegraphed, and I can smell certain things. I could smell what Vince was cooking, if you will.
Hey, yo.
Sunday night for sure.
Yeah.
We can go over the nuances later, but it's really telling. Vince McMahon, as you said, the master of heat for me, you know, telling in the ratings. But once again, everything that every Attitude Era superstar, including to some degree John Cena, has had is a program with Vince McMahon. And those are the superstars that make and draw money. If Vince McMahon puts his stamp on you with a prolonged program, that means you're a made man on TV. It may not have ever been said, but I am saying it right now. That's the through line of people like Undertaker, Austin, Rock, Mankind, and to some degree, John Cena, okay, as a transition, you know, and even Hulk Hogan to some degree because of, you know, and Bret Hart, especially. That was the character that made superstars. And now we're seeing it again with Roman Reigns. What I'm afraid of is when Vince is gone, what does that mean? Because then you have, you know, Stephanie can be very much like Vince, but is no Vince.
Not in writing.
No.
Not from what I've seen from her as head writer on SmackDown.
Right.
That was disappointing.
So, and you can agree to disagree with me, Steven. So I worry about the future.
I do too.
It's very telling that, you know, if Vince McMahon, there goes his stamp of approval. Roman Reigns is a made guy because of their interaction. And what I'm really wanting from Roman Reigns, and I saw it in the physicality, is that fire in his promos, because the cool laid back Scott Hall light delivery is not working, dude. Still is not. You have to be able to enunciate your words. You need to bring your tone and your voice up a level to make sure that people understand that you are on fire, you are livid, you are mad, and you're not going to take it anymore. You know, to talk about Attitude Era. Mm-hmm. I'm mad as hell. I'm not going to take it anymore. You know what I mean? What are you saying? You know, are you going to take it lying down? Because right now you talk like a chump, talking about tater tots and grapefruits all day long and prunes, you know, when you're not going out grocery shopping. This is the kind of language that you're using.
That's some Cena-isms right there with that tater tot.
There really are some Cena-isms, right? I mean, it seems to me like he's really taking what the creative team is writing and doing the best he can. I don't blame him, actually. I blame the creative team, because I believe he's just regurgitating stuff that they say. It sounds very much like something creative would write, you know? And if it is him, dude, I'm so sorry, you know?
Right.
But
you know, he has to do what they tell him. I mean, that's what's unfortunate about, you know, the dynamic of where is my character going? You know, I mean, Ric Flair would not say tater tots. He'd say, I'm just going to go out and cut a promo on the match with Ronnie Garvin I got coming up. But thank you for the notes. And I'll just go do what I'm doing.
Yeah, just like Chris Jericho would. He'd take the notes and just as soon as they turn around, he'd throw it in the trash.
Yeah, give me some bullet points, but here I go. You know, I'm going out and doing my thing. Roman, from what I understand, is a really cool guy backstage. I just wanted to throw out some things that the IWC, you know, I think by and large, the IWC likes Roman Reigns, actually.
Now?
Yeah, I think he's won them over. If you look at his matches this year, we had the Daniel Bryan match at Fastlane. We had the WrestleMania main event with Lesnar. Mm-hmm. We had this TV match. He had a string of boring TV matches with guys like Big Show, but
it's not his fault,
right? But he did actually have a good match with Big Show at an I Quit. He's pretty much put on better matches than as many. He's put on just as many good main events as anybody, and he is been limited as a worker, but perhaps Ambrose Rollins was the reason for that. They are both so good, especially Rollins, that you almost get lost in the ideas. Like, well, this guy's a big thudding idiot. It's like, no, he's a tall, pretty skinny, in shape, non-steroid, stiff guy. I like stiff guys. I think that's obvious. I like Kawada versus Dr. Death more than John Cena versus Kevin Owens, even though John Cena versus Kevin Owens is awesome. Mm-hmm. And close to the five-star range at times, but I would just rather see some stiff motherfucker laying it in because I want because it's still real to me, you know, guy, as he would say. I mean, it is still real to me. You know, when Dr. Death drops Kibashi on his head, it's like,
that's kind of real.
I mean, he might be. I mean, right. So that's, I like range. I think that, you know, he's put in positions to fight big guys, and that and those matches have sucked. But wouldn't it be? It would be fun to watch Roman Reigns take on Triple H in a 30-minute match, or John Cena in a 30-minute match. And I think those are your two money feuds right now. To have him go over Cena clean at WrestleMania would be a good idea. To have him go over Triple H clean at WrestleMania would be a good idea. Or Royal Rumble. I see him going over Sheamus clean at Royal Rumble, and then setting up Triple H. And then I guess that means Cena versus Taker. And then Lesnar. You got to have. That's why I think there's been rumors of them suggesting Kevin Owens to Lesnar because they didn't have a guy for Lesnar. If I were them, I would rebook. I would have Lesnar come out with Vince, and he goes, "I know a guy that can fucking beat you," and then Lesnar reigns again. You know, mm-hmm. Got to do that down the line. But with Reigns as champion, you actually have shitloads of great possibilities.
Mm-hmm.
Fresh matchups. Go ahead.
I like where you're going with that. But once again. You know, let's see if they can carry the ratings momentum into the following weeks. As you said, the dregs of the holidays, it's going to be very difficult to put that over. And at least we have a memorable moment from these past two Sunday and Monday shows to lead us into 2016 as the holiday season, you know, brings out those gimmicky shows.
And let me just say this to you, Sheamus. You are the most transitional champion I've ever seen. You couldn't even make it through Christmas without them dropping the fucking strap off you.
Oh, that's
you bad. Are a transitional bastard. You fight me if you want to.
Hey, look, he did his job. And let me tell you, I like real. It is his character. I know it's his character. Let me, really I like, okay. Well, I like Sheamus. I really like his work in the ring. He does put his body on the line. I'm not as sour on maybe TLC that you were. I actually
the match was good. It was good. It was good.
I do believe that the TLC pay-per-view and I guess we can go ahead and talk about it.
Let's talk about it.
Is a buy for me. Barely. Okay. But
maybe so, yeah.
You know, I have three or four really cool highlights in that particular that show. But let's go over some of the
matches,
the highlights and some of the matches, and then you can chime in with your thoughts here. So we have for heaven's sake, the WWE thing is
you started off with the New Day ladder match, you know, which I have some thoughts on.
Okay, go for it.
Well, you know, you have New Day. By the way, the Lucha Dragons, isn't it funny they still have Sin Cara as a character? Don't you think they're just trying to bury that piece of shit by having that character still in some way? I just think that's funny. Like, no, this was him all along. And I don't know. Anyway, Lucha Dragons, that Mysticis, I think we're the only people that still talks about that guy.
I know. I think we probably are. But
he's hilarious. If you follow his career trajectory, that guy's a hoot. Okay. Lucha Dragons, New Day, and cousins, Usos. First of all, great ladder match. You know, when Kalisto did his finisher off the top, what is it called? The Silent but Deadly or whatever. That's not the name.
The Del Sol. What is it called?
Yeah, La Casa Del Sol.
Yes. Oh, we're so bad, but yeah.
You still go to La Casa?
No. Casa Fiesta Del Sol.
No, the one by your house. What's that called?
Oh, I don't know what it's called.
I'm thinking of the wrong place. I'm thinking of La Ha. I'm off track here, buddy.
La Hacienda. Occasionally. We go there a couple times a year.
Okay, I haven't been there in a while. If you're going to put a ladder match, let me get back on track. If you're going to put a ladder match like that with that level of fucking dangerous fucking move.
Yeah.
You know, triple A level dangerous old school ECW type of bump. You can't put it on first. Who's going to come and do a bump like that? That's 8 minutes into your pay-per-view.
Yeah, look, that match should have been like the semi-main. they should have, you want to set the tone, put the Wyatts and, ECW team up there where the chairs match. That would be a good opener. I think that would have, if taken out of context, that would have been a great opening match because there were some great stuff in that match. I liked it. But anyway, continue, please.
Shit loads of bumps and, no psychology whatsoever. No one's trying to get the belt. They're just doing ladder. They're doing ladder bumps that would hurt them, meaning the person doing the move, choosing to do the move. And then that person can't even try to get the belt. And nobody was really doing the climbing up the ladder stuff. Kofi Kingston, I got to give up, and Kalisto, of course, they are so great at what they do.
Yeah.
And Xavier, absolutely spectacular in commentary, a little more subtle this time. And I just wanted to say for the record that I think that Xavier Woods could be a world champion one day. I think he's that good. I don't think his abilities are being shown enough and his promos are just out of the park. And he improvises well.
I want to say he very well could be a Ric Flair level type of performer. I'm not saying Ric Flair. I'm saying a Ric Flair level type of performer.
Right.
Because he has great skill in every area. Charisma, workmanship, moveset, everything, and he's adaptable. We saw it as Consequences Creed back in TNA. We saw it in NXT, and he is that versatile, and he's very entertaining. I mean, very much the way I feel about Jay Lethal, very much on the same way I feel about, Lord have mercy. I mean, but those two in particular seem to me like they are cut from the same kind of cloth. And that's the reason why I believe that some guy like AJ Styles and Samoa Joe, Kevin Owens will always be great performers.
Yeah.
At the level of technical wrestlers at a Bret Hart level. But what makes someone from the Bret Hart level explode into the Ric Flair level stratosphere? Is that promo ability, which is what Xavier Woods has in spades.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And that's what people don't talk about because they don't want to talk about it. Because they all want to feel that all these great legends are on the same level. No, they're not. They're not, unfortunately.
No, they're not.
We know that we have superstars that know where their talents lie. Steve Austin, he has mega tremendous amounts of charisma and he has great ring psychology. Was he the most technical wrestler ever, even in his early days? No, absolutely not. Was he ever Bret Hart? No, he wasn't. But was Bret Hart ever a brilliant talker? Hell no.
No. But I will say that Steve in his pre-1997 pre-neck injury days was one of the best workers in the world for
him. Oh, absolutely.
While he worked with Brett. Now you could give that up to Brett, but he was great.
Oh, yeah.
But his psychology was so good that when he hurt his neck, he was able to basically do a different style of main event, and it was so popular that it kind of made the 1998 and onward WWF main event style.
Yeah, so
great worker. Anyway, Xavier could be a champion.
Yeah, but I mean the bumps were great, and there are moments in that match that I jumped out of my chair and actually gasped.
That
Kalisto bump. Oh my Lord, have mercy! Folded that ladder in half. I mean,
dangerous.
There are tons of times I was thinking to myself, how much more can they do without killing themselves?
If he doesn't do it just right like he did it, I don't know what'll happen. It can be very dangerous.
Talk about tucking your head. We, you look, and I was watching this with my wife, and I said, look at that. And she goes, oh my God. And I said, yeah, you know, these guys, that's why Edge and Christian, you know, retired early.
Right.
You know, because of the bumps, bruises, and concussions and the neck injuries due to matches like this. And yeah. I said, it's amazing. You don't see the Hardy Boys. And she's like, I'm surprised to still see the Dudleys out. This is words coming out of my mouth.
Right.
You know, out of her mouth, rather. She's right. Like, I'm surprised to still see the Dudleys still do hardcore matches. That's what she said. And
those guys have probably had tons of concussions.
Yeah. But I will say, very epic. And I will be watching this match again just for the sheer choreography. I think it was well done, not well placed. But, you know, as soon as that match happened, the energy just kind of started dissipating from the room, like a big explosion of pyro at the very beginning. Right.
Well, I think they thought booking it like, well, if we don't put this on first, we're going to have a dull first hour, and they would have. So I guess that's why it ended up there. But that's their own poor planning for the pay-per-view a month ahead of time.
Ryback and Rusev with Lana in kind of a, you know, very
stop
much
making
a very
out
pedestrian match. A little bit of make out, you know, going on. Just get a room. I'm done watching them kiss. It's a big turnoff. People look at Lana. They don't want to think that this big Russian bear is making out with her. And, you know, it sucks. I'm not a big fan of that match, and I feel sorry for all of them.
Well, you know, when I saw them in around where I work, the last thing I thought about doing was talking to her.
Yeah, for sure. Oh, by the way, New Day defeated the Usos and Lucha in 1750 to retain. And then Rusev beat Ryback in 755. I'm just kind of over the whole makeout session, get a room.
It, you know. Well, they're doing it to antagonize her in real life. It's more their classic WWE bullying. They're antagonizing her for wanting to get married and going and not being breaking kayfabe and TMZ and the wedding ring picture. And all of that crap and her tweets and she's a firecracker. If you follow her on Twitter, she's always saying some real weird shit that could get her in trouble with her job. And they're like, oh, fine, make out with him on the fucking TV show the whole time. I will say they're not punishing him. He does seem to be on some sort of winning streak again. You want to talk about a guy that they had at near main event level and just dropped the ball with, though. You can blame her or you can blame them, but you know that guy didn't do anything wrong. He did exactly what they told him to do every week on that show, constantly put on great main events for a pretty new guy, and he went up and down in the card, matriculating all sorts of directions. They dropped the ball with him, and I hope they're trying to restore him, and I hope he leaves the League of Nations because it's not helping any one entity in that group.
Nope. Del Rio versus Swagger in a chairs match for the U.S. Championship. I didn't think it was bad. Mm-hmm. I thought it was a good match. And by the way, I have to circle back. I need to stop doing this. Ryback did pass out an accolade in that match. So they're still trying to keep this feud alive. They're still trying to keep Ryback strong to a degree. And they really need to just for the face side of things because we are short on that face, strong face talent.
But he's pretty close to full-blown Jay Brown at this point lately.
Yeah, he to try to make Kalisto in the last pay-per-view was probably not the best thing either. But
that was when it all started. Really.
That's when it all started. let's see here. So here we are, Del Rio in a chairs match with Swagger.
You know, I don't like the idea of a chairs match, you know. That's the thing with that, man.
It is super violent. Del Rio grabbed the chair, struck Swagger's back repeatedly. Del Rio put the chairs under Swagger and then had the double stomp from the top rope for the pin. Swagger got defeated by Del Rio at 11:15.
I'll get it.
Oh, yeah. Thanks for that. But and it was a good match. I didn't think anything was bad about it at all. But I believe that's kind of how we played it out in our minds, right?
I just don't like a chair match, because then everything has to be centered around the chair. The match was, I didn't like it. Swagger can do so much more. We've seen this match a zillion times. That's why it was a chairs match. And I'm pretty good at reading body language and facial expressions. And I get the sense that Del Rio's pissed off they put him with Coulter. in the first place, and now he's double pissed off that he has to restart when he got this huge pop in San Jose when he came back. Mm-hmm. And now he has to start from scratch a month and a half, 2 months, whatever it is later, when he had all the heat gone from. They should have just brought him back as an epic baby face and just left it at that. I'm glad to see Coulter's not in the picture. I was worried he was going to come out and get involved in the match. And, a pretty decisive win for him, which is helpful. Again, like I said on the last match, he needs to leave the League of Nations. It's not helping Russo individually, nor Del Rio. Sheamus, all it did was put some people around him. And, you know, Barrett, from what I understand, is injured. But, you know, it didn't really help him because he's been so damaged. So let's disband the League of Nations simply merely weeks after it was started, because that would be hilarious.
I think it was a pro wrestling PW Torch, I think, that said something of, if there's no merch, they have no long-term plans.
Yeah, I think, like, it was Torch. When your music starts and you're like, what is that? Then nobody knows the song.
It's just very strange. Okay, this is the next highlight for me. The Wyatts versus the ECW Originals in a tables match, which I dug. Couple things of note. When did Bray Wyatt's first name become just Wyatt Wyatt? It's like they showed, and we have tables with all of their names on it. And it's like, Rowan, Harper, Strowman, and Wyatt. That's not how Bray Wyatt's first name is Wyatt Wyatt.
It looked like they were like hung Christmas stockings in a way.
And the tables were hung by the chimney with
King. It was really. Those guys, I know they were brought in to put the Wyatts over. The Wyatts have been damaged. They finally got the Wyatts strong with four of them, mm-hmm. all of them back together again, and they had them job to Taker, Kane. I understand you want to do your 25th, whether it was his 25th birthday or whatever the hell it was for the Taker.
Happy Death Day, Darkcast.
Like, really weird. They should have done that in October. That didn't make sense to me. But I think that when you decide to bring in Rhino and Tommy Dreamer for a program to get somebody over, you know, things are going bad. Yeah. And Rhino's been great in NXT, but seeing all four of them put together, and I was an ECW mark when it was around in 97, 98, 99 even, but looking back, it's just sad. You know, even the Hardcore Justice TNA pay-per-view of 2010 was extremely sad to watch. This is 5 years and change later. No, the Hardcore Justice pay-per-view was sad.
Yeah, I agree.
Mother's big, and Simon Diamond looked weird, and it was sad.
Well, I agree with that, but I'm not going to be as critical because I enjoyed it, and I enjoy seeing the ECW guys back together. And coupled with the WWE production, I thought the vignettes and promos that they did leading up, as well as the following night on Monday, was amazing. But that's neither here nor there. We're talking about Sunday. And the one criticism I have about it, other than Strowman looking like a little bit of a piece of broccoli during the match, wandering around like a deer in headlights, the thing I will say is that don't pull out a container of lighter fluid without the intention of actually lighting it on fire.
I mean, Terry Funk was probably really upset when he saw that.
I was upset, I was Terry Funk upset, because I said to my wife, I said, if it's water, whatever, I don't care. Just light the damn thing on fire with the intent on using it. Don't just try to do it and then get put through the table without actually setting it on fire. Don't tease us like that. You don't pull out the lighter fluid unless you want to show fire in the ring, folks.
Well, you know, fire bumps like that are very dangerous. Yes. I've seen people, I know Balls Mahoney got burned really bad one time. Foley and Edge did a great spot with it. Terry Funk did, the Dudleys did a great spot with it with Tommy Dreamer at the One Night Stand. Mm-hmm. And, you know, these guys, you just shouldn't even tease it, because you shouldn't go there at all.
Don't tease it.
The match wasn't bad. Let me be specific. I think Braun Strowman, if they keep putting him in these hardcore matches and he's doing bumps with Tommy Dreamer, he's going to eventually kill him. you know, some of these bumps he's doing with Dreamer are very dangerous, and he's very poorly trained.
Well, that Death Valley driver on the two tables was really great. Good for Tommy. It made Tommy look like a sick freak, which he is. And I really enjoyed that bump a lot.
It helps Tommy's House of Hardcore for him to be in the show, then I'm really all for that, you know. But, you know, Tommy's one of the toughest guys and smarter bookers. Actually, he was booking a lot more than we ever realized in ECW, especially in the era where Paul Heyman had it was in nervous breakdown mode, which would have been like 1999 and 2000, you know, because Tommy is very simplistically booked.
Tommy to me is and of course it said it in his ring gear, and I knew exactly what he was doing the moment he came into WWE with the red dots, is that he paying homage to the late Dusty Rhodes, his mentor, his friend, his coworker. And to me, I believe that he is trying to pattern a lot of the booking stuff that he has been known for in the realm of Dusty Rhodes. I think he does a very good job at creative, and I like the stuff that he's booked. I've never been really disappointed in anything he's really booked, other than I don't know how much he had to do with that TNA pay-per-view.
A lot.
They have a lot.
Hardcore Justice?
Yeah, Hardcore Justice. I believe he booked it. Maybe it was more the talent than it was the actual booking. I have to revisit that pay-per-view, to be quite honest.
Well, they had a really very violent Raven-Tommy Dreamer match in it, where there was a barbed wire spot where he put barbed wire in his mouth. And
I do remember that.
Violent match.
I do remember that.
I think maybe AJ was... I'm thinking of something else. But no, that pay-per-view was sad because even by 2005-06, those one-night stands, you know, Sabu was still around and looked pretty much like himself. Rob Van Dam still kind of looked normal. The Dudleys did. But, you know, four short years later, everyone was starting to look very old. That's what I meant about the Hardcore Justice. Tommy has always done the best with what he has, you know, right down to, you know, he got to the point where they had to put the belt on Steve Corino in ECW, and people like Justin Credible were flipping it with Jerry Lynn, and you know, things got really tough for ECW, and they were having their biggest houses ever. You know,
speaking of Jerry Lynn, it was good to see him back on Ring of Honor.
Well, Jerry's one of the greatest wrestlers of that 90s, 2000s era, and just didn't get enough credit. I mean, he got a lot of internet credit, but I mean, he never, you know, I think if he would have pinned Van Damme at some point in that feud earlier on, in the, you know, 1998, 99 portions of the matches, I think that would have gotten him to that level. But great wrestler, man. He was great in TNA. He was one of the early staples of TNA. And Jerry, you know, has a lot of pain in his life because of those great matches. But
exactly right. Well, I just had to mention it since you brought him up. Yeah. Another match I was really fond of, actually, was the Owens-Ambrose match. In a surprise twist, Dean Ambrose defeating Owens for the Intercontinental IWC title in 1955. Well,
this was a great match. I thought it was, you know, a little shorter than I'd like, but, you know, I see why they split him up. They had the Ambrose feel-good babyface moment on TLC, and then they had the Reigns feel good baby face moment the next night for the world title. And I don't think, you know, people need to, you know, think about it. Reigns and Ambrose are the two top champions, and they're both baby faces and they're friends. That's pretty interesting, as they're going with something very positive, more so with their show for once. And I thought it was a really strong match. And you know, again, this Kevin Owens Ambrose feud will continue. If I were them, I would just continue it up until Mania and have some sort of gimmick match there. I think it's a great feud. I think Owens needs to be around the Intercontinental title.
Well, and the way I feel about it, to complete this, the trilogy would be the Usos gaining the tag team belts at the Royal Rumble, and then all four of them are going to be champions moving into the following pay-per-view, where then the heels will gain all the gold. That's kind of how I feel about it. You know, you're going to have everyone there as champions, as baby faces, and in one foul swoop, they're going to get all their gold taken away from them. That could very well happen.
Yeah.
So that they're on the chase leading to WrestleMania, but entertaining nonetheless. A little bit of lackluster, a fall in the women's match, not necessarily because of the work, but just because I just wasn't into this story. Charlotte with Ric Flair and Paige versus Divas Championship, heel versus heel.
This is true. Brian Alvarez from Figure Four Online said he saw the script for the pay-per-view. And it said that Charlotte and Ric Flair were faces.
Unbelievable.
It really makes no sense. But if you notice, she turned over the figure four on Paige. Well, that's the babyface spot.
Mm-hmm.
But Ric is really funny. He's actually really helped these matches in a strange way. He's added this flair, if you will, to them that they otherwise were lacking. I thought it would have been really funny if he would do some promiscuousness with Paige. I thought that would have been kind of, or she was trying to use that against Charlotte.
I was thinking about that very same thing, but I didn't say it, and I'm glad you
Rick
did.
Rick would naturally want to bang anybody. That's right. Who he is.
Right.
So he would naturally be like, hey, well, yeah.
Yeah, I would think about the same thing, and or of course saying, your mother really appreciated the fact that she rode on Space Mountain or something of that nature.
Or he could get her mother, who's a wrestler, and she could,
Yeah, exactly. You never
get him involved. Rick with girls is always funny because he's such a ham. He's such a chauvinist in a cute way.
Well, he's stolen the pinky swear from the girls, and now they're doing it. Him and Charlotte doing it together, leaving poor Becky Lynch out like Linus in her blanket out there in the middle of the snow, just hanging out. And it's just a really strange situation.
Can you imagine how amazing it would be if he said, "Hey, Paige, why don't you take a ride on Space Mountain?" Can you imagine the pop that would come with that?
That would be.
I mean, they wouldn't let that happen, but
oh, they might.
By the way, some of these old NWA 85 to 87 Ric Flair promos that are just kind of out there, there's thousands of them, and they aren't on the DVD sets because there's so many great ones. Some of these promos are incredibly lurid.
Totally.
Double entendre. Like I sometimes I get shocked when I hear off the Space Mountain ride, like things like that, like just really.
Well, think about it. I mean, he used to come into WCW back in the old days and have those women, the entourage with him.
Yeah.
And literally he would talk about his exploits at the Marriott. that's literally.
But they were literal things.
They were literal things according to, just listen back to Woo Nation when he was talking to.
I have to say this. I don't think I've brought it up on our show, but the Tony Schiavone interview on Woo Nation.
Great.
Did you hear the Black Scorpion part?
Yes. Yes, I did, about running around in the lobby with a cape.
What he said was, I got to say this on our show because it might be the greatest thing I've ever heard.
Okay, go for it.
He calls Tony Schiavone to his hotel room late at night. Ric Flair's totally drunk. It's the night the Black Scorpion lost to Sting at Starrcade.
Yes.
Rick is still dressed. He was forced to be the Black Scorpion at the last second because they fucked up the angle and Al Perez didn't want to do it. Blah, blah, blah. Now it's late at night. Tony Schiavone says he comes into the room. Ric Flair is dressed like the Black Scorpion with no clothes on under his robe. And he's looking at himself in the mirror, which I think is the scary part.
Yes.
And then he turns to Schiavone and says, "Sting, how will you ever be able to defeat the Black Scorpion when you have to contend with this?" And then he flashes Tony Schiavone is, from what I hear, large penis. That's the greatest thing I've ever heard in my life. How will you contend with this?
With his sword.
I just thought the Black Scorpion would have been so over if something like that would have been on the show.
I agree. That's what we call good booking, yeah. Yeah. Charlotte B. Page at 10:45.
Drew. Oh yeah, that yeah.
Sheamus versus Roman Reigns. Okay, here we are for the World Heavyweight Championship.
Yeah, good match.
Yes, absolutely. There's a lot of danger. There's peril. There's peaks and valleys and good times overall. And
good match.
Yeah, it was good.
I understand it. You know, if I know him, he may have made the decision to switch the title the next night that night because Sheamus came out to very little heat and Reigns came out to no heat and the match had no heat until they kind of got the crowd into it, probably at the, I'm guessing, 15-minute mark. That complete lack of heat for either competitor or the world title match itself probably is the thing that said, you know what, I've had enough. We're going to pull the trigger now. But to me, this was the plan all along. For Sheamus to steal the title, after Rollins got hurt, they thought, well, Sheamus will steal the title after he wins it at Survivor Series. We'll go one pay per view and then at Royal Rumble, he'll win it back and blah blah blah. But they threw in the idea of doing it on Raw, which probably made USA happy. You know, like I said, I think USA is pissed, so that was a good move.
But
Sheamus had to be booked this way.
Well, you know, the thing is that we talk about experience. We talk about them trying to strap a rocket on Roman Reigns' back. But you have someone that's credible to a point who has the experience, like Sheamus. They had to build a history of wins, losses, defeats, but they had to make him look strong. He had to get some type of history with the fans of him earning it. Blood, sweat, and tears, which we had not seen the year prior. I believe they may have tabled some ideas from last year's booking for this year. And as it went south, they decided to make that move. And I think it was a brilliant move for them to book him in a different way, you know, in that Austin way. And granted, it, you know, I was critical in the last episode about them doing cookie cutter booking, but this is more suited to the character of Roman Reigns as opposed to someone who is undersized in Daniel Bryan. You can't do that. Roman Reigns is a big dude. And you made him look like a monster, even going up against Brock Lesnar last year, smiling at the fact that he looks like a sadist. He enjoys the pain. So it's like, okay, that's fine. Let's book him like this. And it made sense. And at the very end, where the McMahons came out and he spears Triple H and he does all this stuff and puts him in a medical facility, and where everybody went crap over the internet, right? That's cool. So I understand that. So like I said, with those matches in mind, it was barely a buy for me, but I will be watching this again just for those matches and the spot and the crowd reaction, which you're right. The crowd was just kind of very flat overall and several times in that pay-per-view, they went into business for themselves because they were bored. So,
yeah, well, I'll give it a thumbs marginally down, but I will say that the last segment with Triple H probably will go down in history as the moment that they were able to figure out how to get Reigns over after basically a year of trying, you know, everything they could. So, you know, like I said, when backed into a corner, the booking magic happens and Vince takes back control of his crowd. He did it at WrestleMania, which we all thought was great. And he did it on the Raw following this show, which everyone thought was great. So when the chips are down, he does come. And that's why I stick with this product, even though I'm clearly more of a different style of wrestling. I stick with it because Vince McMahon is a magical promoter and booker and performer. And he comes up with magic when the chips are down, and he's done it again.
Here's some Raw highlights and hits and misses for me. Hits definitely kept coming in the form of hard slaps to the face. Stephanie McMahon clearly laying him into Roman Reigns. Roman Reigns took it like a champ to the point where he got visible bruises on his face because no one slaps like Stephanie McMahon. In the photos that were provided by WWE.com, Stephanie, that hand was straight up solid.
I swear it was stiffer than like Kobashi slap fights.
I've never seen
really stiff.
I mean, you look at WWE.com and you look at the look on Stephanie's face laying into Roman Reigns and Roman Reigns smiling, knowing that I am in for the ride of my life. Not only am I going to get kicked in the balls by Vince McMahon and his $400, $500 shoes, but I'm going to get literally the whip across my face from the woman that does not hold back, Stephanie McMahon. Wow. So
I'm gonna have to correct you there. There is no way that his shoes cost only $400 or $500. His shoes probably cost $2,000 to $3,000.
Okay, you're right, quite honest
with you. There's
no. You're correct. Why did I say that? I don't know.
Because even some good Meslin would cost $700, and he probably ran the Meslin.
Well, and you're right, because you are custom made from head to toe, my friend. So you'd know better than me.
I'm not custom.
I wear Crocs. So here my thing, right? So we got so we have Stephanie. That was a hit. Another hit, obviously. For me, I really did like this. I actually liked the Ziggler versus Ambrose DQ IC match. I enjoyed it just for the work.
Oh, yeah, it was a good match. That was a good TV
match. I thought that was a good match. Other hits, obviously, McMahon arriving on Raw.
Dick kick was great, yeah.
Yeah, the dick kick was great, too. And of course, last but not least, you know, the not-so-spoiler-rific ending with the title going around the waist of Roman Reigns. You know, they talked about ESPN SportsCenter and how Roman Reigns is going to be on SportsCenter, but the entire night they're saying, will Roman Reigns still be employed? That's kind of a dead giveaway. That
was probably end logic. Up winning. They messed that up. I don't know what to tell you. But you know, maybe they did it to, like, keep, you know, people started sensing a title change, like on my Twitter feed, I could tell. People were sensing a title change. I was sensing a title change when they said that. And I'm like, well, okay. So, and I thought Vince would do a swerve and help Reigns and set up a feud between him and Triple H, Stephanie, or something of that degree.
It didn't go down the way I thought it would.
They didn't even need to do that. They booked it perfect. Vince was great. He sold the punch great. The League of Nations did the rundown into the bro kick. When he did that bro kick, that was the end. And he kicked out. You know, the Superman punch on Sheamus, and the referee's arm was coming down for three, and there's no way it could stop. And you knew it. And then Vince, its timing is impeccable, as always, him and the ref, to pull him out right before the three and then calmly explain to him why he pulled him out. Vince is so good on this show. It's a shame he's not on it more. But, you know, again, we see Sheamus and Reigns every week. We see Stephanie a lot. Who adds 840,000 people? It has to be, of course, the interest in the booking and then him making the appearance, because that people say, well, the show dropped to 3.8 million. It by the third hour, it did, but it usually drops to 3.0 million.
So, well, and here's the thing, you know, when you have it recorded, it's not like you can't go back and watch the rest of it, the show, later. That's part of the problem, is that the Raw goes on really late for some people.
Yeah,
but you also have the other situation that happens, like you said. I mean, they promoted certain aspects of the show throughout the entire show. It was teased that something big was going to happen on Sunday night, you know, picked up on social media. So they had a perfect storm. They did everything they could to draw more attention to the product on Monday. They did everything right with that type of promotion. Mm-hmm. And they made Raw actually matter. When you base everything on network subscriptions going from month to month on these quote unquote pay-per-view events, and that's where your focus is on, it's not on the product that's on TV. Because when nobody changes titles and nothing significant happens, as I said at the very beginning of the show, it hasn't been newsworthy for some time. So why would we expect any different? But when you set the table to make something impactful, people will actually tune in if they think that something important is going to matter. And they set the hook. There wasn't any abysmal promos like there was in the Raw past, where we had 15 minutes of bullshit promo from Sheamus and Roman Reigns. This was a really concise show.
It was the best show they've done most of the year.
Yeah, and then you also had a great, like I said, the Wyatts versus Dudley Boys ECW match, where the Wyatt family did defeat the Dudleys, but in a great, great match that definitely is part of my highlight reel. Other misses, you know, for me, once again, I have to say that I'm not into The Miz. I told you that I like The Miz, but I didn't like what he did. Didn't like the
more ear stuff, you know,
more ears, making fun of Neville, that whole situation of and of course he had the Adam Rose still not working for me. The Adam Rose segment was just abysmal. I did not like it.
They're just trying to give that poor guy an opportunity to keep his job at this point.
And I understand. I understand, but it just doesn't make any sense for me. So anyway, those are just some of my
big bonuses. Thumbs. Yeah, big thumbs up on Raw, man.
Yeah, absolutely. Big time. Good stuff. Really quickly, just some great news as we finish up some of our section in regards to WWE news. Takeover is happening tonight. Yeah. As we record, we have NXT TakeOver London. Finn Balor is going to be there versus Samoa Joe for the championship. Bayley defending against Nia Jax. There's going to be a kickoff show in there as well. And it looks like Lita's going to be joining the kickoff show. And I like that. That's great because I like
Lita. News. Yeah, she's a class act from the beginning.
Yeah, absolutely. So that should be a really good thing. Just everything on paper looks great. I expect to get an awesome situation there, an awesome match. But Lord Steven Regal, not going to be there. William Regal, not going to be there because he has a nagging back injury.
Well, he's had some serious surgery going on lately, too. I mean, you know, Steve Regal's double tough, so it's probably a pretty serious situation if he's not there because he's a tough dude. I'm really looking forward to Samoa Joe, Finn Balor. I could think it could be one of the best matches of the year. If they can pull it off or not, we'll see. The crowd should be great. They're in a great place for the match, and they're the right type of writers, bookers, whatever, to allow them to have a 25 to 30 minute match. And, you know, Bayley's not going to have a classic women's match against Jax. She's going to probably do a shortish match. And if I were booking, I would have Jax squash her and win the title.
Mm-hmm.
I think that would really be a super heater. And then what's her face? The one that can't wrestle.
She's dangerous. She's dangerous.
Very dangerous wrestler.
I mean, just ask Carmella about that kick to the head we saw in Breaking Ground. Oh, my God.
Looked good. But it looked real good. But, you know, the thing is, they, you know, they're going to slowly realize that if they bring Bayley up, what will they do with her? You know, I don't really know what to do with Bayley. You haven't even used Sasha Banks yet, really.
Nope, and that's where I'm thinking that post WrestleMania they're going to bring Bayley up, and they will reignite their feud, Bayley versus Sasha. Slowly having Team Bad show up at different things. I don't think that honestly Charlotte Page has worked out for them, and I think it's time for them to go ahead and give people what they want. But
maybe eventually we'll see. They're listening to the crowd more lately, but yeah, I think the money feuds in Bayley chasing her title that Nia Jax takes in a vicious beatdown Vader style. That's just how I would book it.
It sounds good to me.
But they might just have her win. I don't really know. I'm looking forward to Asuka having her match with Emma.
That'll be good. Emma, the little cooking show diva, which is great. By the way, great signed Emma photographs you can get at WWE Shop through our link, by the way, as well as Bayley. So in terms of picks for NXT, you know, I suspect that as much as I want Joe to win the title to see Finn on the chase, I think Finn is going to retain.
And well, it seems that way from the amount of beatdowns he's been getting from Samoa Joe.
yeah, that he's going to come out on top, and he's going to come out on top in you know, in London, and in, you know, in the UK, which is, you know, close from where he is originally. And then we have, and then I think Bayley will probably retain as well, even though I think that it would be best, and I'd be very happy if Nia Jax just goes ahead and wins. So
sure, and I think they're setting up Apollo Crews to beat Corbin to go to Balor, who beats. So I think they're just trying to set up Balor versus Crews.
That's good because I think Crews, I think, is going to be a great contender. He's got the charisma, he's got the look, he makes people happy. And unlike Baron Corbin, who for me, I'm still having a hard time watching him because he literally is like, he's like a piece of stale bread.
He doesn't have the mechanics down, and I don't know if he'll get it or not.
I mean, like I said, being a piece of stale bread, you might look very good, but you have no type of personality, redeeming quality, or taste. You're just sitting there, you know, like a lump on a log. But anyway, that's how I feel about that. Really quickly, Mauro Ranallo announces the new SmackDown commentator going into the new year. And you might know Mauro Ranallo from his work in New Japan. Right. And I'm down with that. I like the change in the commentary. I think, you know, having two separate commentary teams with personalities is going to be good. How he's going to be when he's produced over the headset is going to be quite telling. If he will continue to do the type of realistic play-by-play that people from MMA and real sports know, you know, he can deliver. So what are your thoughts on that?
He's a great guy to get. I mean, he's going to really help that show a lot. I think they'll try to put better matches and some sort of storylines on that show, and then he'll just take it over the top. Maybe they'll get back to the where they can get 2.5-3 million instead of 1.9 or 2 million. I'd like to see them repair SmackDown. I know they at the tapings they did a pretty cool angle with Roman Reigns beating up security, and he had a face off with Sheamus. So it sounds like they're going to continue that feud to some degree, but at least until Rumble, which is what I was predicting. But I think he's a great, great find. He's probably the best announcer out. Well, he's one of the best announcers out there they could have grabbed.
I agree. If you're going to grab someone with that experience, I think he would be great to get. Also, in the more international flair, let's talk about this. New Japan went ahead and finalized the card for Wrestle Kingdom 10 at the Tokyo Dome. And looks good. The card looks good, Steven. You want to run it down? I've got it in front of me.
Let's see. We got Tanahashi Okada on top. So that'll be the third time they've done that.
The IWGP Heavyweight Championship bout. Like it.
I'm not really sure what to think. Okada's held the belt the whole year. I think I see Okada winning this one clean. You know, I think that'll go that direction. But the other co-headline is Nakamura Styles, which, you know, with this back injury, that got me really worried. But apparently Styles is going to work the Ring of Honor date coming up. I think it's this weekend. Am I wrong?
I think you're right.
I might be wrong. But, you know, that's cool. He'll do his match with Ring of Honor with Lethal. And I expect that match to steal the show. Now, if his back is really bad, I don't know. But you know, he's one of the smartest wrestlers, you know, in the world today. And Nakamura is the most charismatic wrestlers. Is the most charismatic wrestler, in my opinion, in the world, and one of the best workers as well. That's why I think he's the best wrestler in the world.
Agreed. We also have Ishii versus Shibata.
That might steal the show, actually. That might steal the whole fucking show.
Is it an Iron Man match?
No, I don't. Are they doing how I don't think that goes to those guys. They have about 12 matches on there. They couldn't go that long.
Okay, I was going to say, man. Okay, no. It's a 60-minute time limit. I see. Okay,
No. Sorry. Yeah. Those guys will put on a fan. They might steal the show.
Nice.
You know, they might actually steal the show. Ishii's just, I'm a big fan of his. The more and more I watch the show, He's just these guys do stuff that's so incredible when you watch it compared to their stuff.
Right.
The Ring of Honor can't even come close, really. Poor guy.
Well, and like I said, I mean, you know, and we said this in the pre-talk, pre-show leading up to this, is the fact that I have never on Access, and it may be just the way it's edited, but I doubt it, have ever been let down by a single presentation of New Japan.
Well, you eventually would be let down at some point if they were, no matter how good the editing would be, right?
I'd be eventually let down, but that is not the case at all. I actually have not seen an episode of that show I didn't love and wanted to watch again because it is so damn good. I love the shoot interviews that they have with and one thing I liked that WWE used to do last year that they need to continue is the post-match interview. I've been meaning to say this for a long time, that something New Japan does after the bout, especially a championship bout, they go back with the challenger and the champion. They discuss the match, what they could have done, how they plead to the fans, all that stuff. That's something that I loved about last year, in particular, the Shield post-show, post-match interview, which was so good and had so much personality. That they WWE needs to bring that back. Now, that is great content I would prefer to have on their YouTube channel and on WWE Network, is those press conferences. So bring that back, because I think that's something New Japan does great, and I'd like to see their take on it, more of that. Continuing on, did I mention the Goto versus Naito match that they're doing in there?
No. You know, Goto had a really good year. Another solid match. You know, I mean, you really have five matches that could blow everything away. Through the Ishii match, Nakamura, Tanahashi, the Kushida, Kenny Omega, for the light. What is it they call it? The light heavyweight?
Yeah, the junior heavyweight.
Junior heavyweight. I'm sorry. Mm-hmm. That will be.
That's going to be amazing.
Yeah,
that's going to be great. Also in there, two Ring of Honor matches, or two Ring of Honor vets, Elgin versus Lethal, which will be great.
Yeah,
which will be great. And if it is, if the final battle pay-per-view that we're going to talk about here in a second, if he becomes champion, this will be a championship bout, which would be great. Which is nice. And then we have the tag team champions, the championship match. You've got Doc Gallows versus Machine Girl Carl Anderson, which is great. For some reason, they love Kiss, so they're doing the whole painting face gimmick still.
Yeah,
they're still painting their face.
Yeah.
Hanma versus Maccabi, which should be great too.
Hanma's had a really great year despite some things that have happened in the news I won't bring up in Japan.
Okay. That's good.
You don't want to know about it, trust me.
There is also a six-man tag match that they're going to have in there, and the junior tag team championship match with Beretta and Romero, the Roppongi Vice,
yeah.
Your favorite. Also, Kyle O'Reilly and Bobby Fish is a tag team. Another great Ring of Honor group, Matt Sydal and Ricochet. Great high flyers, contenders definitely for high flyers of the year from Ring of Honor. And Nick Jackson and Matt Jackson.
None other than the Young Bucks, right?
Yep.
I think this will be the fifth blowaway match of the card. So I'm predicting five matches, maybe even six, that'll blow everyone away. Forever.
Well, there are definitely some power wrestlers, technical wrestlers in there, and definitely high flyers. You got, you know, everything great for an entry into Wrestle Kingdom. So I suspect that they're going to blow the roof off the Tokyo Dome in that case, which would be really cool. Plus, there's, I believe, also another card in there. This card is going to be 4 hours long, folks. It's going to be one of the longest. You know, it's their WrestleMania. So if you do get an opportunity to watch it, I do believe that you can be a subscriber to their app and network for $9.99 a month as well. So
I don't believe they have an app yet.
It's just online streaming.
Yeah.
Okay.
Which pisses me off. So.
And we'll also have that talk and results show coming up as well. Final battle from Ring of Honor also going to be happening this weekend, December 18th. It's going to be really, really cool. In the main event, we discussed Lethal versus Martini with Truth Martini in the corner with AJ Styles. That will be an incredible match.
Hopefully, if his back's okay. Now, we'll learn a lot about what's going on with him from that match, you know.
Mm-hmm. AJ, he's trying to take it easy on himself, and that's great. Yeah. Just keep on doing DDP yoga, AJ. Just do it.
Very, very rare for New Japan to send somebody home, so they must have been really worried about his back.
They wanted him to rest up for their main event. And of course,
that's just the Ring of Honor.
Yeah. War Machine versus the Kingdom with Maria in their corner. That should also be a barn burner. As I mentioned, I'm a big fan of the what's going on with the TV championship going on right now. We've got Bobby Fish versus Roderick Strong or Delirious. That should be good. Adam Cole versus Kyle O'Reilly in a grudge match. One of my favorites going on right now, Dalton Castle. What a great character versus Elias Young with the boys.
But.
Awesome six-man tag, which will probably be another barn burner. Alex Shelley and ACH versus Sydal and The Addiction with Chris Sabin. So that'll be good.
Yeah, I like Saito a lot. I think it was so smart of him to go there in Japan and just get out of
WWE,
the death world of.
he would have become another Kofi Kingston there. Matt Sydal, by the way, is
no, he wouldn't.
Matt Bourne.
Well, I don't know if he had the promo ability to do that. Actually,
so. Yeah, you're probably right.
His brother's a very good independent wrestler, by the way.
There you go. Okay, you've got Michael Elgin again with versus Moose. That should be good. And our favorites, the Young Bucks are back versus the All Night Express versus the Briscoes in a number one contender tag team match. And bell to bell, this looks really great. And by the way, YouTube exclusive, one of my favorites, Cheeseburger versus Brutal Bob in the YouTube exclusive starter match.
Yes, the feud of the year continues.
Yes, Cheeseburger versus Brutal Bob.
Yeah, I mean they're funny. They're fine.
Yes, it'll be a good one for sure. Final battle, of course, once again Friday, December 18th at 9 Eastern, 6 Pacific, live on pay per view, and I think that pretty much wraps things up.
Yeah, that's everything going on that I know about.
That is a lot of stuff. And before we get into our promo of the week, which will be the chairman, Mr. Vincent Kennedy McMahon. Let's also talk about how we've got another show. We're going to do this before New Year's, but it's a Pro Wrestling Cast Awards. And I forgot to mention the Slammies. Slammies are going to be, by the way, next Monday.
Yeah, it kind of popped up on us, didn't it?
So we'll talk about that too, I'm sure, in our year-end show. We're also going to talk about some of the other publications that are out there in terms of their year-end wrestlers. But who are your picks? Let us know over social media on who you would cast for the Pro Wrestling Awards if you could. Wrestler of the Year is a category, Most Valuable Player, Rivalry of the Year, Tag Team of the Year, Most Improved, Best Promo Interviews, or Most Charismatic. That's one category. Mm-hmm. Best Technical Wrestler, Best Brawler, Best High Flyer, Best Women Wrestler, Promotion of the Year, TV Show of the Year, Match of the Year, Rookie of the Year, Best Non-Wrestler, Best Announcer, Best Gimmick, Best Babyface, and Best Heel. And, of course, we have our honorary category, Best Ring Gear and Best Hair. All of it is subject to change. But will probably not be. We're going to talk about that in our year-end show. That should just about wrap things up for us here at Pro Wrestling Cast. Steven, what else do you have to say? Where can people find you?
Well, I think I'd like to cut a promo, actually. I didn't tell you about this, but, I'm going to cut a heel promo. I've taken myself out of the internet musically. My albums are no longer available, and I like to blame you, the public, for not supporting me, and you can honestly all burn in hell.
Oh, man. We have gotten dark here on this show.
I was planning that all week.
That's like Vince McMahon dark.
And you can no longer find me on the internet, and you can't buy my music, and you can all burn in hell when you die.
Ouch. We now leave you with.
So you can take down that link you got. I told Terry, I said, I'm going to cut a heel promo for people not buying my music. Because the album sales are sluggish, and I decided to turn on everyone.
Yeah, is it not on Spotify? Can people listen to you on Spotify still?
Nope. No music. Nope.
Okay. All right. We now leave you with the illustrious Vince McMahon putting a lethal dose of poison into the WWE. This is one of his most sinister promos. Steven, do you want to set this up? after your comments of late?
I would just say that this is another incredible Vince moment. Vince knows his company is going downhill. Vince senses the ratings and the house shows will continue to matriculate downward, and he feels like the only thing that he can really do is bring in the NWO and see if it works. I think deep in his mind, he knew that they would continue to lag in ticket sales at the box office, that pay-per-views would continue to lag, and that the economy was kind of having a lot of issues, and that his Federation was losing popularity, and he could see it happening at this point for nearly a whole year. And it really started with the Steve Austin turn, which was a mistake. And really, it was 9/11 that really put him in the shitter, so to speak, financially. So to me, this promo is almost a weird shoot. Like, I will kill my own creation if you think you're going to kill it, which is exactly what I did with my music, by the way. See, I've injected some poison into my own situation. And this promo honestly gives me the fucking creeps. It is really fucking creepy.
On that note, promo of the week.
Look at that face, God.
The WWF is going to die.
Oh my God.
I know that. The WWF has cancer because of Ric Flair. Flair's gonna kill it. And the kind of cancer Flair gave the WWF is the slow eating kind of cancer. It's not quick. I'm not gonna let Ric Flair kill what I created. Me. The WWF is mine. It's mine. I created it. I'm not gonna let Ric Flair kill what I created. Because I'm going to kill what I created. I'm gonna kill it. I'm gonna kill my creation. I'm going to inject the WWF with a lethal dose of poison. If anybody's gonna kill my creation, I'm gonna do it. Me. And the NW.
Oh my God, that is so good.
That's a scary promo, man.
That's one of the best from a gentleman that knows that he can deliver ratings like no other, Vincent Kennedy McMahon.
Yeah.
I hope you enjoyed this episode of Pro Wrestling Cast. Don't forget to visit ProWrestlingCast.com for all your great shopping links. Amazon, Fandango movie tickets. Also, High Spots, WWE Network, and WWE Shop. Bookmark the page and subscribe to our links on YouTube as well as iTunes and Stitcher. And make sure you never miss a single episode of Pro Wrestling Cast, your weekly webcast for wrestling news, commentary, and, of course, great shoot promos just like this. If you're going to blame the economy, you sure can, but you might as well just blame WCW and everything that WCW bad to make your own show tank because of 9/11. So in that case, I hope you have everyone a great week. We will see you next time for some great year and awards. On behalf of Stephen Anthony, I'm Al John Go. Don't forget to tuck your head. We'll see you guys next time. Take care.
Thanks for checking out Pro Wrestling Cast. If you've got a question or comment, leave us a voicemail at 615-9339-PWC. That's 615-9339-792. Follow us on Facebook at Pro Wrestling Cast and on Twitter at P Wrestling Cast, or email us at ProWrestlingCast@gmail.com.
It's still real to me, damn it!
Opinions and ideas presented in these podcasts are those of Pro Wrestling Cast and are for entertainment purposes.
You're awesome. Thank you so much, Mr. Fuck, for saying what needed to be said.
Listen to WDW Tiki Room, the show about all things Disney. Fridays, 8 a.m. Eastern, 5 Pacific on Sorcerer Radio. I'm Kristen.
I'm Al John. Join us for discussions on the Disney parks,
food news, travel deals and tips, attractions and event news, and more.
Time to do the must-do. Woo! Or should I say must?
must do.
Source of Radio correspondent Dan Barnes has the Disney 4-in-1 pop culture news. Eric Allen has Disney video game news with bonus levels.
Natalie Henley shares ways to save money. And Mike Emke has the Disney Geek Report on Marvel and Star Wars.
Leave your show comments, requests, and discussion topics on our new voicemail. Call 850-888-TIKI. That's 850-888-8454.
You can also post your questions, comments via Twitter and Facebook WDW Tiki Room.
WDW Tiki Room, the show about all things Disney. Fridays at 8 a.m., 5 Pacific, with an encore presentation, 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 Pacific.
On Sorcerer Radio, srsounds.com.
Crisis for the geek kind. Top geek officials admit they underestimated the hipster's defense capability. Join the geek revolution and save the galaxy. Geeks from all over the globe are joining up to fight for the future. They're doing their part. Are you? Want to know more? Join Weeby Geeks and the Geek Revolution and save the world. Service guarantees citizenship. Listen to Weeby Geeks podcast on iTunes and Stitcher or online at weebygeeks.net. Weeby Geeks, your voice for the Geek Revolution. Want to know more?
And don't forget to send me a postcard from the Muppet Studios.
Oh, yeah, I'm sorry. I can't do that, Walter.
But, Gary...
Because you're coming with us!
Book your next Disney vacation with Kristen Hetzel of Magical Journeys Travel. An unconventional agency for the unconventional client, Magical Journeys is dedicated to finding the best pricing for your next magical journey.
Wait a minute. I love that idea.
Kristen will work hard to save you money and give you the quality of service you deserve. As a well-established agency and an authorized Disney vacation planner, Magical Journeys Travel has many years in the travel industry and dealing with the infamous Disney reservation system. Let Kristen help you plan your next magical journey. To book travel or for a free quote, please contact Kristen Hetzel at www.magicaljourneystravel.com/Kristen. Follow her on Twitter at Kristen Hetzel.
Right. Come on, everybody.
Magical Journeys, an authorized Disney vacation planner.